Thanks for responding. And go ahead and be seated. I'm going to get into the scripture reading a little bit deeper into our time tonight, so you guys can go ahead and sit down. Man, it's going to be one of these nights with getting the mic to fit to my ear. It's not working super well. So Brian and I, we're so compatible as pastors in so many ways, but we have different ear sizes, so make sharing the mic really hard, guys. Pray for us. Need that. Okay, so good to see you guys. This feels like this is a good Sunday. I just something about spring and having Kelly here and in the room. Is there like an applause thing behind me? I don't know why, but I'm glad that y'all are excited about that. I am too. I feel maybe it's just spring. I'm energized, but I'm thankful for this Sunday already and being here and worshiping together with you guys. I feel like there was something that I was going to say before I got into my sermon, and I'm totally blanking on it, so I'm just going to jump right in, and if I remember, I might press pause on the sermon and let you guys know. But for now, I want to get started, and really, what I want to do is point your attention to this insert that you have in your bulletin. Bulletins we put out on the chairs beforehand, so hopefully you guys got one. If not, though, we have some in the back. But this little half-sheet insert, it's entitled Five Ways to Pray and Engage This Year, 2021. I've referred to this sheet as we've been working on it in various different ways. Our goal sheet, our prayer sheet, our New Year's resolutions, which puts us in the awkward position of unveiling to you guys our New Year's resolutions in the middle of April. So that's what's going on with the title to this sermon, too, by the way. A little play on that. It's funny, Brian and I actually, we deliberated. We were like, is this just so stupid that we've worked on this and thought about this and gone through it all the time that now we're talking about these things in the middle of April? We decided just to own it, just to go for it. And we're hoping that maybe you guys, you know, put a positive spin on it and you just say, wow, my church, they just really take their time with things. They really put a lot of thought and prayer into stuff before they unveil it. I mean, doing New Year's resolutions in January, that's so hasty. You don't get time to, like, sleep on it and think on it and go back and forth. And so that's what we've done here, guys. We've just really, really deliberated well, and we're finally ready to kind of sort of unveil these things in a way. But I'm teasing, kind of. There's more to it than that. And that's really what I want to focus on in the sermon tonight. Now, a couple of things. One, this sheet is kind of like the entryway tonight that we're going to be talking about, but I'm really not going to focus on a lot of the specifics you have here. That'll be next week when Pastor Brian preaches. This is going to be a two-parter, and we're actually, me and Brian are kind of partnering with it. I'm sort of introducing it tonight and giving you a little bit of the backstory of how we arrived at this kind of thing to give to you guys. And then Brian, who actually is the one who authored this and put it together, is going to be sort of looking more at the actual content of it next week. But tonight, my part is more of a little bit of an intro on it all. And we're going to start with reading the scripture, Psalm 66, 16 through 20. So, now that you're all seated and snug in your chairs, I'm going to ask you if you would to stand for the reading of God's word. In Psalm 66, starting in verse 16, it's up here on the slides, but also it's printed in your bulletin, or even cooler, if you have your own Bible, read along with me if you would. This is God's word. It says this: Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. This is the word of God. Thanks be to him. Let's pray. Father, I ask and pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be pleasing in your sight. We ask it this evening in the name of Jesus Christ and his name alone. Amen. Amen. Thanks for standing. You may be seated. Hey, and just by the way, too, guys, I know I said it a few weeks ago, but I'll say it again. I purposely have kind of left off the face shield tonight. We're trying to kind of take baby steps towards releasing are relaxing some of our COVID restrictions. We're not quite ready to have maskless singing yet, but I think it's coming soon. So we'll keep you guys posted. But for now, we're just taking these baby steps towards regularness. Is that a word, Brian? Regularness? It is now. Regularity. There you go. Noel and Brad Gibson. I love it. So, guys, the goal sheet, as I'm going to refer to it tonight, is something that's not entirely unfamiliar to us. We've had sermons, we've had retreats, we've had moments in time where we as a church kind of collectively stopped and said, okay, what is our purpose? What is our goal? What is our target? I don't know if y'all remember any of those sermons, but I certainly do because, well, one, I prepared them and preached them mostly, but also, I always love this particular topic because it gives me a chance to share like one of my favorite analogies in a book that I read that I remember from years and years and years ago. So some of y'all are gonna have heard me say this before, but it's worth repeating. It comes from this book called The Prevailing Church by a pastor in Atlanta. His name's Randy Pope. And this analogy that he gives that stuck with me, it kind of comes from this sort of story in their church's history where he realizes about 10 years into their church's existence that their church had met their goals. They had achieved their basically vision year in and year out, 10 straight years running. But then the aha moment came when they realized that the reason that they hit their goals every single year was because they actually defined their goals after the fact. It was like they threw a dart at an empty wall, and then once the dart landed, they ran up to the wall and drew the bullseye around wherever the dart had landed and said, "Woohoo, we did it! We hit the goal, guys, 10 years! Woo, what a stretch!" And it was this moment where they all just kind of said, yeah, we're kind of just defining success based on what happens as opposed to something that we actually sort of aim at beforehand. And I think that analogy has stuck with me. I read that back when I was a college student, so it's a long time ago. But it stuck with me because I know that we have that tendency in Christian ministry, especially in the church, to be kind of aimless in doing what we do and never really feel to say, like, what if we're actually going somewhere? What if we actually have a destination and not just sort of a general vague one that's hard to define, but actually one that we put some description to and say, yeah, that's where we're heading. And so I've used this analogy in years past to kind of reorient us, have a chance for us as a church to kind of come back together and say, okay, what is our purpose? Why are we here? Usually when we do that, we'll remind ourselves of our theme verse here at Vespers. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. "For I resolve to know nothing among you except for Jesus Christ and him crucified." It's Paul speaking to the church in Corinth. And he's saying that what he preaches, what he does, everything he is, comes back to the gospel of Jesus crucified for his people. That's our aim. That's our goal at church. That's what we want everything from the pulpit, from the musicians singing, from the prayers that are led, from the way that you guys interact with each other, to come back to that gospel of Jesus. That's what it's all about. And then on top of that, we say that we want to see mature followers of Jesus Christ being developed at this church. And that traces back to that 1 Corinthians 2, too, because a mature follower of Jesus Christ is one that's living out of that gospel. You're living out of the gospel in the way that you talk to your wife or the way that you talk to your husband. You're living out of the gospel in the way that you parent your kids. You're living out of the gospel in the way that you interact with your coworkers. Even living out of the gospel in the way that you fight sin. You guys realize that? That sometimes the people that are most vigilant about fighting sin can be the most immature because they're fighting sin because they're thinking they're having to earn God's love or merit his favor. When the reality is to live out of the gospel of grace means that I am forgiven. Therefore, I'm going to seek to follow God in my life and reject sin. So that idea of everything we do oriented around the gospel and having mature followers of Jesus come from that, that is our goal. That is our reason to be. And many times I've stood up here and told you guys about different ideas or different initiatives that we're trying that will help us kind of make those things happen. And some of those initiatives are fruitful and some of them aren't. Some of them aren't. You're probably thinking to yourself, what? 2 years ago, we got all excited about this one thing and never really heard about it again. Yeah, that happens sometimes. But all this to say is we've had moments with goals, with targets, with our reason to be as a church. What we haven't always had, though, which is different about this year, 2021, are measurable goals. Specific goals, yes, but ones that actually we can measure and have some sense of whether they happened or not, or at least an easy sense of whether they happened or not. That's kind of the difference of our thinking this year. When I say our, I mean me and Brian, our leadership, is these measurable goals. And so the genesis of this goes back to January. Brian and I have kind of started this somewhat tradition. We've done it, I was thinking, Brian, 4 out of the 5 years that we've worked together. In January, we kind of take a retreat day. We go for a hike. We just spend the day talking and praying and planning and sort of dreaming about what God might have in store for our church in the coming year. And so this January, we did that. Brian came, picked me up at my house. We drove up to Magalia. We were all set to go with the essentials. Brian had the gluten-free, dairy-free snacks. I had the SPF 75 sunscreen, the good stuff. And we head out into the wilderness to take our hike and to talk and to sort of dream about the year. And it was in the midst of this that I was sharing with Brian that I felt like God was just after me with this idea of like, okay, Josh, yes, you've always had specific goals for the year, but actually make them goals that we can kind of measure as the year goes on. So, for instance, instead of praying, Lord, would you make it so that we get to participate in seeing many people come to faith in Jesus this year in Chico, all of a sudden he was putting on my heart to make it very measurable and saying, Lord, we're praying that you would let us be privy to 65 people coming to faith in Jesus. And actually putting a number on it. And financially, Lord, we've always prayed, would you allow us to have the means as a church to give more to missions, international missions? But now this year to actually pray, Lord, would you actually enable us to spend $75,000 more on international missions? And start making our goals measurable like that so that at the end of the year, December 2021, we can look back and have a very straightforward idea of whether that happened or whether that didn't happen. And actually, that last little bit is the scary part and why a lot of times we don't do that at church. We don't do it in our lives as Christians sometimes. It's because when you put a measure on a goal like that, it opens up the door potentially for you to be in a place where at the end of the year you look back and say, it didn't happen in the way that we prayed. With the goal not being measurable, there's always a way that you can kind of explain things away a bit or massage the data to make you feel better about it. But if it's a straightforward, hey, we asked for 65 people and that didn't happen, it puts you in that place of awkwardly having to say, whoa, we prayed for this, and the Lord didn't answer it the way that we asked him to. And because that scares us, and because we don't want to grapple with the questions that maybe that would stir up into our hearts, what we do instead is we play it safe, we make our prayers general, we make them broad, and we make them unmeasurable. And I feel like I've been doing that for a very long time. But I think what the Lord has been teaching me is that we miss something when we don't pray boldly like that. We rob ourselves of something. And what we rob ourselves of is the opportunity to stand together in December looking back on the year and saying, oh my goodness, look at how the Lord answered our prayers in ways that we didn't even think were possible. If we never are willing to ask the Lord specifically and measurably for these things, then we never find ourselves in the spot of the psalmist that we read tonight saying, come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for my soul. look at this guy. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened, but truly God has listened. He's able to do that. Well, I don't want to put myself in his shoes. I'm not going to say, oh, he made measurable, specific goals. I don't know. But I do know that he's very clear on what he asked God about. And he's very clear on being able to say that God answered him. I want to be able to do that as a church. And that's why I chose this scripture tonight. We're not going to plumb the depths of all this means. I'm not going to pull out the Hebrew lexicon and start telling you the word meaning and stuff like that. I just wanted to give you a picture of what could be for our church as we look back on a year in which we've trusted God with these very measurable things and potentially be standing there saying, come around, everyone. Listen, the house party next door, you got to hear this. We asked the Lord for something that we didn't think was possible, and he did it. And we can go back and show you that we prayed for X amount, thinking that that was foolish or dumb or way beyond our means, and the Lord provided. Of course, the cynical pushback to that is like, well, Josh, what if he doesn't? I'm not scared of that. And not because I have some confidence that my prayer, the Lord will definitely answer. He might not, but I'm not scared of that potential, and I'm not going to let it scare me away from being willing to have these bold prayers, because I want to experience this. And I want to experience it with you guys as we get to celebrate the Lord answering the prayers of his people and getting to testify to the world around that he listened to our prayer. So, what are our specific measurable goals? You might be looking for it on this list and you're not finding it there, but don't worry, I'm not hiding it from you. I've got it up here on the screen and we're gonna talk through it. Jess, you can go to the first one. So our specific prayers, we're gonna focus on Vespers. Up in Paradise this morning, we focused specifically on the church site in Paradise, on Ridge Paradise, but here we're gonna do Vespers Chico specific. With one at the end that's kind of shared between the two. But here's what we got. We're praying for 5 returning families. What that means is families that since COVID, we've lost communication with. Or maybe even before COVID or during COVID, families that are part of our family, larger family, that have kind of gone off the radar a bit. We're praying that this year we get to see those families return and be part of our fellowship consistently again, and for 5 of them. Next thing, for one community project. Last year was a year of just trying to figure out how to survive, guys. Like, we were live streaming from my living room half of the year. We were figuring out how to, like, just meeting in fields, figuring out the different tiers and if we should meet and if we shouldn't. It was so inward focused, and I'm not guilty about that. It had to be in that moment of figuring out what we needed to do, but I'm tired of just thinking about how we survive as a church. I want to start looking outward. Paradise especially, still reeling from the effects of the fire. So for us to have a community project that we could really sink our teeth into and say, this is our baby, we're going to devote ourselves to this, and that we could look back on the year and say, like, wow, we embraced this with all that we had. Now, you're going to notice from these two things, the 5 returning families, the 1 community project, these are small numbers. And it could be that a pushback on all this is to say, Josh, 5 returning families, nothing's impossible for God. He's God. Why not ask for 500 returning families? 5,000 returning, well, there's probably never been that many families that have been a part of Vespers, so the returning part. But you get what I'm saying. There, you could be, and maybe you're thinking this of like, hey, this is too small. If you're going to ask God for something, ask for something crazy big. I hear you. But we thought that there was some wisdom in sort of adopting what we often do when we set goals in our own personal lives. And that is asking the Lord to grow us incrementally, one step at a time, as opposed to thinking that we're going to accelerate 0 to 100 in a snap. So we asked for 5, and truthfully, that is a lot. But we're trusting that God will give that. and one community project too. And the reason we settle for one there is our idea is not to give you guys a buffet of 12 different options, but rather as our small church, what we're limited in our manpower to say, let's choose one that we give 100% to. Space to grow. This one was the hardest to kind of give a little statement on, but here's the deal, guys. We love this church facility. Love it to death. It's been our home for as long as we've existed, for 8 years now. We love this church, New Hope, that have become partners in the gospel with us. Pastor Steve at New Hope is one of my closest friends in town, and they have consistently loved us well with this space. But we experience the growing pains of this building. With the huge amount of kids that we have running around and needing space for kids, or even the amount of space we can have in here with COVID spread out, or maybe most importantly, the fact that we have elderly members and handicapped members that can't come to church because there's no handicap access. We're on the lookout for a space that we could partner with, like we have been so blessed by New Hope, but that could allow us to grow some, have some more space and some amenities like handicap parking and accessibility that we don't have right now. I'm hoping that by December 2021, we can look back and marvel at how God answered that prayer. 60% midweek involvement. What we're hoping for here is that 60% of our regular attenders would be involved in a Bible study, a small group, a fellowship time sometime during the week. Guys, we have so many meetings happening. It's crazy. It feels like every time we turn around, Brian or I is getting a call from somebody saying, hey, I want to start a Bible study. We're like, okay. Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, Thursday, really early morning, Friday night, you name it, things are happening. So to think that we could have 60%, a good portion, a little bit shy of two-thirds of our people that are actually engaging in that, fellowshipping together outside of Sunday, that's what we're hoping. And how do we measure that 60%? Well, we've really leaned heavily on that revamped church directory that Brian put together last year. That really to us is kind of like the say of who's coming to church, who's with us. If you're not a part of that directory, like we'd love to add you. If you're coming to Vespers regularly or Ridge Paradise regularly, we'll put you on there so we kind of get a feel of who's there. But that's kind of where we're taking that. Of all those folks, 60% of you guys fellowshipping with one another during the week. Next one, 15% giving increase. We got big plans, guys. God has given us big eyes as leaderships of this church to constantly be thinking about missionaries that we want to support or initiatives or fire relief that we want to go deeper with. We're constantly looking for ways to really pack a punch in our community, even as a small congregation. And we're asking that the Lord would allow that to happen through y'all's tithes and offerings increasing this year. Maybe some of you guys starting with tithes and offerings for the first time in your life, or being more consistent and trusting God with that each and every week or month or whatever it is you give. It's hard to say because, you know, I'm in a weird position as a pastor when I talk about or preach about money, because everybody tunes out immediately and just says, oh, this is a greedy church, this is a money-hungry church, and that can happen, no doubt about it. But the flip side of that is that I am responsible to shepherd your soul as a pastor. And that means I am responsible to teach you about what God's word says about being generous and open-handed with his funds in your life. And if I never talk about that because I'm afraid of what you might think, then I have failed you as a pastor. It might be robbing you of one of the greatest blessings in your life to be obedient to God with your money. So we're going to talk about it this year. And we're going to pray that he stirs up in your heart a desire to be generous and give to your church. Next one. This is the last one. And this is the hardest one to talk about. 10 baptisms between Ridge Paradise and Vespers Chico. And I say it's hard to talk about because I shared with Brian this week, I am embarrassed to share that goal with you guys because that number is so small. But the reality is, for many years of our existence at Vespers, we have not seen that many profess faith in Christ or be baptized in his name. It's a weakness of ours. And I know that I, as the pastor, shoulder a lot of the burden of that. Maybe we could even say the majority of the burden of that. Believe me, I'm not unaware of that. But we have to start somewhere, and what we're starting with this year is saying, Lord, between our two sites, we want to see 10 baptisms. And you know, we have baptisms happen in a couple of different ways here at Vespers. You've seen little babies being baptized. In fact, Jacob, I see you there. Danny was just texting me about having Carmel baptized soon, which is awesome. We're celebrating that. That is vitally important to us and part of what we're praying for with baptisms. But in recent years, the vast majority of our baptisms have been children, covenant children being baptized into the church. And I want that, but I also want people coming to know Jesus for the first time and being baptized in his name. And so what we're praying for here, really, is that God would grow us in evangelism and being willing and equipped to share Jesus with the people in our lives so that we might be able to celebrate and see that sign and seal of the covenant baptism be put upon his people. So these are our goals, these specific measurable goals. A friend up in Paradise reminded me too that it's important to talk about like the time frame. And just so you know, I hope you've picked up on it as I've been speaking, but we're hoping that this would happen in this calendar year so that these goals would be accomplished, so to speak, at the end of December of this year. But, of course, it begs the question, what now? Well, what we're asking you guys to do is pray with us. That's why this sheet is entitled, Five Ways to Pray and Engage This Year in 2021. We're asking for you guys to join with us. It's not just me and Brian. It's just not us and the elders, but all of you guys together, that you would make this a consistent part of your prayer, is that God would do these things for the church this year. That you would trust him with those things, and that you would watch and wait and see what he does with us. That we all could just be like eagerly, like looking over the and see, is God gonna do it? But more than that, well, no, that's not the right thing to say. Not more than that, equal to that. We're asking you guys to act. That's why the sheet says five ways to pray and engage. Because when God's people pray for something like this, we get to step out with him in it. And we get to participate in seeing it come to pass. I was meditating on this scripture that I have up here on the screen this week that kind of helped me in thinking about this. This is Paul in 1 Corinthians 3. He says this, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. So Paul, he's reflecting on his ministry and also the ministry of this fellow named Apollos. Both were vital in ministering to and serving the church in Corinth. And Paul writes this because he's actually warning the Corinthians against idolizing him and saying, like, don't lift me up on a pedestal. And don't lift Apollos up on a pedestal. Realize it's only God that makes things grow. It's only God that has the power to make these things happen. We were just workers in the garden. We just watered. We just planted. God is who made it grow. Amen. However, this verse kind of has a secondary application, though. And what it is it teaches you that there is a place in God's activity for people to plant and water and tend the garden. You've got a part to play. I've got a part to play. And what we're doing this year is not only praying for these things to happen, but also saying, Lord, show me the ways where you're calling me to water or to plant or to tend the garden. I can't make it grow. I can't make it happen. I don't have the power to do that. But you're inviting me into the way that you answer these prayers. Perhaps he's showing you this year ways in which you can water a bit and be a part of this answer to prayer in 2021. Now, I've gone way over time. The good news is we're not done here. I get to tag in Pastor Brian next week, who's going to go more specifically through some of these action items that we have. So I'm going to ask if you would hold on to this sheet. We'll probably have some next week too, just in case for people that weren't here. But since y'all are here and you have one, stick it in your Bible, you know? Maybe laminate it. That was kind of a joke. But hang on to it because we're going to revisit it again next week. But for now, what I want you guys to know is that the reason we are doing this is because I want to get to say with Psalm 66:16, come and hear all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for my church. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the way that you have blessed us greatly throughout the years. You know, the context to all this, Lord, is that we are a people that have consistently seen you answer prayer and do the miraculous in our midst. So if anything, Lord, we're just keeping our eyes open for more of the same. I pray and ask, God, that all of us would be in unison when it comes to bravely stepping out in prayer and in action on these goals that we have for church this year. And Lord, I pray that we would do it all out of a motivation that's driven by the gospel of Jesus, that we are forgiven and redeemed in him. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.